Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We broadcast live, if you will, Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. on Monday mornings on this radio station. We podcast these programs at SoundCloud, iTunes, and the radio shows page at richarddugan.com. And we are also linked to our guest's website. We're going to be giving you that website address shortly so that you can continue your evolutionary process, continue the things that you are trying to do for yourself to make your life a better life wherever it is that you are. And also note that if you are listening to the radio broadcast, you might be surprised that there's more than what you heard on the radio. That's right. Sometimes we go long. I call that the afterview. The afterview is beyond the 50-minute limit that we have on the radio broadcast, and we encourage you to go to SoundCloud, iTunes, the radio shows page at richarddugan.com to listen to the entire interview. Then click on the link to our guest's website to continue your research investigation and so forth. So please afford yourself those sources. If you'd like to support what we're doing, if you like what we're doing, if you like the fact that we're here trying to make this a better world for everyone, if you like the fact that we are trying to support what you're doing in your life and encouraging you and inspiring you, we hope, and educating you in particularly, as you know, I'm a very strong advocate of education of all kinds. I tell you, if you're learning something, there is no bad education. If you're learning something, if you're learning more how to process the information that's out there. So if you like what we're doing in that regard, please support us. We have a PayPal link on the homepage as well as the missions page, where if you would like to financially support this broadcast, the contributions, if you will, are greatly appreciated. We are not nonprofit, so keep that in mind. It is not tax deductible, but every penny helps to keep us moving forward here. I have a very special guest on Skype today, and I'm very excited to talk with her because she is going to enlighten. She's going to educate us. I guarantee you. She is going to inform us about health and wellness and all of those good things that go along with basically living a fulfilling life, living a life that we are able to thrive in. My special guest on the program today is Dr. Veronica, there it is. Dr. Veronica MD is the website, by the way, just so that you folks know that. We want you to check out that website. Dr. Veronica Anderson, pardon me, I thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I want to make a slight adjustment. My website is drveronica.com. It's even easier.
Even easier, yes.
Drveronica.com, drveronica.com, because I know people like to check that out.
Absolutely. So, yeah, my mistake was that I was reading the headline at the website that says otherwise, but it is drveronica.com, drveronica.com. We encourage you to go to her website, Wellness for the Real World. And that's what we want to talk about, because you talk about how virtually every, and we'll call them diseases, virtually every disease, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, pretty much all of them are pretty much curable in the sense that we don't have to have them. There was a gentleman I was working with many years ago who talked about how in our DNA, as his research showed him, each of us has certain potentialities for certain conditions or diseases. It doesn't mean that we're going to get them, but it's sort of, if we go down the wrong health and wellness path, like, oh, I'm going to eat at McDonald's for the rest of my life. Yeah, your chances are that you're going to have some of these. They're going to pop up because you're sort of predisposed. But if you don't go down that path, that predisposition will never be activated. Is there any truth to this?
Oh, absolutely. Your genes are not your destiny. Your genes are only about 1 to 5% of what happens to you in your health. Now, that's a beautiful thing to know, because that means you have a lot of control. And in the past, the way we've been operating, especially in Western cultures, is you go to your doctor says, do this, do that. You follow the directions or you don't follow the directions. And you think stuff just happens to you, but you do have a lot of control. And it's basically knowing what you are predisposed for. And then how do you stay on the healthy side? The other piece that has just recently come out in the research, I read an article this morning on this. I want to highlight this. People love to run and go get lab tests because they say, well, if I get a test and it shows up on the test, then it must be right. Guess what? Tests have high false positive rates. 5% is high. And so, for instance, if you take 1,000 women and they have a mammogram and you have 5% of them that they have a false positive, that means that you will have 50 women who look like they have breast cancer, but they actually don't. This is a big deal because people are having fear, anger, sadness, and going to get treatments that they may not need based on false positive tests. And so I go there because you think, okay, well, I won't worry about my genes. I'll just run. I'll get the latest and greatest tests. So we have a lot of wonderful ones out there. And that's just, you have to be your own doctor. Now, this is coming from a doctor saying you must be your own doctor. If you feel like something is wrong for you, you must stand up and say, no, I don't agree with that. I don't believe it. I don't think that's right for me. The tests, maybe they're wrong. Now, you're not going to be silly about this. But in different populations, different test results can mean different things. There could be certain populations. So for instance, let me give you a big for instance. In the African American population or people of African descent, we've all heard of sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh my God, sickle cell, that's really bad. Except that sickle cell protects people from getting malaria. And so there are other, this is a big example a lot of people can grasp, but there's a lot of little pieces that are coded into your body, into your genes, that are there that are meant to protect you. And sometime when you intersect with modern medicine, you end up getting the wrong answers for what is right for your body from somebody else. So I don't care how many degrees somebody has on their wall, you must always ask questions and then go the path that you feel is right for you.
Well, I can attest to that. Several years ago, after moving to Santa Barbara from Phoenix, Arizona, I was having my physical. They took my blood pressure, said, oh my goodness, that's a little high. And so they, of course, ran the blood test, to which I told them, you're not going to find anything in the blood that's going to tell you why my blood pressure is high, you know, like high cholesterol and those kinds of things. It says, it's not there. It's in my head. It's psychological. Because I was having problems dealing with, and this was what I was saying at the time, stupid people doing stupid things on the road. You know, I've only been driving for 20 years. And shocked myself in 2006 when I drove cross country from Phoenix to Santa Barbara, drove through L.A. traffic, which was amazing. And that was exciting. But the more I was driving around Santa Barbara and on the 101 here across the Central Coast, I would get very frustrated because people weren't using their turn signals. They weren't doing this. They weren't doing that. They weren't following the basic rules that I had learned and that I was trying to follow so I wouldn't get tickets or get killed. And it would get me very frustrated. And I says, that's where my problem is. And I think someone said to me not long, well, maybe a couple years after that, they said that that I could ease the stress in my mind by basically looking at it from this perspective, which was a double-edged sword of frustration. Richard, they didn't get up this morning and say, let's get Richard. It's not personal. To which I said, okay, that's great, but that also creates another problem. It's not personal. They don't care enough about me. You know what I'm saying? So they're totally oblivious. They're in their own little world, and they're not really focused on the driving and the people around them. They're focused on their coffee and their phone and their this and that and the other. But anyway, that's the long and the short of it. And of course, I have been on three different HB medications, as I like to call them. because I've had certain side effects. One of them was a little cough. Another one I found out was one of the medications I was taking supposedly causes cancer. Like, you didn't know that before you prescribed it? Fortunately, I wasn't on that for very long. But you also have a specialty that touches my, can I say heart? I don't know if I want to say my heart.
Sure.
Because you, for 10 years, of course, you were, you've been an ophthalmologist. Say that 10 times fast, folks. I have been to ophthalmologists all my life, born legally blind, okay? I had a lens implant in 96, lost my left eye vision to glaucoma. Okay, so now I'm putting a drop in my eye every day in my right eye to keep my right eye from going in that same direction. And fortunately, up to this program, balanced. There'd been no changes in years, which is great. And I'm, as I said, I'm driving. But that's one of your areas of expertise, is dealing with the issue of glaucoma.
Yes. I mean, this is the first radio show or any media that I have been able to say, yes, I am a fellowship trained glaucoma specialist, trained at Mount Sinai under a wonderful professor, Stephen Podos, who, you know, when I walked into his office, saw the, was able to just see the potential and brilliance in me and take me into his program. So I did my residency in New York City, my fellowship under him, and became a glaucoma specialist. And I got to tell you, glaucoma is a challenging disease to manage. Mm-hmm. As a glaucoma specialist, it was a high stress job. Okay. Because what happens is we get people like you. All the other doctors say, I don't want to touch them. Go to the glaucoma specialist. And so you end up with the people who are, you know, more challenging, which means you got a lot of stress in your life as a practitioner, because my job is I want to keep you seeing until you lay in the box at the end of your life. That's what I always saw my job is. My job is I want to make sure that you have something there. I either arrest or very, very much slow down any vision loss that can happen. And so, you know what? Sometimes you don't win. Sometimes I didn't win as a doctor. And that was devastating to me.
Oh, yeah.
I took that personally. And that's what made me ill, because I was taking things personally that, quite honestly, I didn't really have control over. I thought that I did. The medical system taught me that I did. Mm-hmm. My patients thought that I did. But I understand now the way the universe works that I didn't really have control.
You know, I have two names in particular that are prominent in my world. When I was a child, my parents would take me to an ophthalmologist in Phoenix. His name was Dr. John Aiello. I really liked this guy, and I had numerous surgeries as a kid because I had three conditions. I had bilateral cataracts, nystagmus, and stigmatism. I had the trifecta, whatever that means. And I had a number of eye surgeries as a kid, as did my brother and my two younger sisters. And they have similar situations going on. And back then with cataracts, of course, you know, they did this stirring. They actually, what they, for folks who don't know, what that means is you stir up the fluid inside the eye and try to break up the cataract material so that hopefully it'll break up enough to where it'll then pass through the membrane as the fluid passes in and out, because that's how the eye pressure is maintained. But that's also an issue when it comes to glaucoma, because it's those little holes where the fluid passes through that, I guess what, they get clogged up, kind of like you get mineral deposits, if you will. And now the fluid can't pass out and it keeps coming in. Am I correct in my...
You're very good. Okay. Yes, you are, because you've been through this a lot, so yeah. You're telling it probably better than I can.
Well, good.
And the thing is, with people who are born with cataracts or get it very young in life, childhood, cataracts and glaucoma are like twins. If you see cataracts and you don't see glaucoma, that would be very unusual. So your story is typical.
Yeah.
And you know, you get children and you know, it is, it's the race against time again. It's challenging. Some of these are quote unquote genetic. Now, I want to switch a little bit because it's quite interesting. You're talking about the story, not just of you, but your siblings. Mm-hmm. And now, okay, so now people know me as the clairvoyant eye surgeon. I don't do eye surgery anymore. I don't practice ophthalmology, but I've become, you know, I realized I had this ability to be able to read people's energy is what it said. And so I tell people I'm a licensed physician and practicing psychic, and I'm very good at seeing things about people. And people, I want people to understand the meaning of their illness and realize that it's not that you're being punished or something like that. There can be deep meaning in this. I'm sure you can talk about it. But even when, if you're ill or have some type of problem, the message or the lesson may not be for you. Sometimes the message is for your parents or for your kids or for a spouse that you're going to meet. You have to broaden the thoughts. And I bet, Richard, you have some really profound stories to tell about how your life has shaped up based on the fact that you have this issue that's been going on with your eyes your whole life. Yeah. Well, just you think about it and your everything probably has gone around what has been going on with your eyes, but not just you, your parents, mm-hmm. your siblings, everybody that comes in contact with you. Like I said, this is the first time somebody out here needs to hear this story.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've gotten to talk about, since I've been doing a lot of media and radio, that I've talked about my last life.
Yeah.
Somebody's listening to this show, because this is the way energy works, that needs to hear this story of hope and needs to understand that you're not being punished. It may be that you're a higher being and you've got a lesson for somebody else. And the reason why you are afflicted with this is because the universe knew that your psyche could take it well enough where somebody else's couldn't. Your mm-hmm. psyche was strong enough so that you wouldn't fall completely apart with this. Yeah. And you would be able to have the people who come in contact with you and around you lessons.
Yeah. Well, I had a little scare not too long ago. I mean, within the last month or so of this program. I was putting a one particular drop in my eye, according to my ophthalmologist, and I was supposed to switch to a different one because she wasn't convinced that it was doing the job. And by the way, this ties into another area as well of all of you talked about 5% false positives when you're talking about test results for depending upon what you're being tested for. And one of the things that's always frustrated me, whether it's talking about high blood pressure readings or eye pressure readings or any other standardized test results, if you will. In other words, here's the norm and here's yours. And I've often questioned, okay, I know that my high blood pressure tends to run a little, it's still in the normal range. There's a range there, but it's in the high normal. How do you know that that's not my personal individual normal blood pressure? Or
you're absolutely brilliant to realize that.
In the case of my eye, same thing.
I have to talk about this.
Please, go ahead.
Because I got to have people understand that there's a reference range which is based on the population. And so how they figure out quote unquote normal is the 95% confidence interval of the bell curve. So look at the bell curve. Everybody knows, you know, go up and down, woo, woo. And at the two ends, they chop off the two ends of it and say, those are the outliers, right? So you're at the higher end and it likely is normal for you, except that when you're a practitioner trying to figure out, well, who do I treat and who do I don't treat? You have to put a line in the stake somewhere. And, or you have to be comfortable following someone. So for instance, you have glaucoma, we're worried about your pressure being high, but as a glaucoma specialist, we had people who had normal pressure glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
They were a bear
wow.
to figure out how to manage
wow.
because we didn't know what pressure was too high for them. Their pressure may be 18, which is perfectly normal, but that was too high for them. So we needed them to be at 12.
Yeah.
And do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the 18 was too high for them.
Yeah.
Whereas for other people, you know, you may be a person, you have glaucoma, the normal kind with high pressure, and you run 22, and at 22, which is considered high, you'll keep your vision for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So there are nuances in this. And so when you see a lab test that comes outside of normal, it doesn't mean that something horrible is happening. One, because there are statistical errors, which is what I was talking about at the beginning. But the other thing is, just because your lab test is normal, it doesn't mean you're normal either. Know that 50% of people who have heart attacks do not have elevated cholesterol. 50% of people who have heart attacks do not have elevated cholesterol.
Wow.
There is no evidence that in women, elevated cholesterol leads to heart disease and heart attacks in women. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we have this number out there, cholesterol, which is not the best way to test for heart disease, we now know, but most people don't, that people are stressing over and treating with a medication, statins a lot of the time, that actually we now know cause what they're supposed to prevent. The new research is in. Statins cause what they're supposed to prevent.
Yeah, I love the commercials. As a matter of fact, we were watching this one a few years ago for one of these pharmaceuticals, and the condition that the pharmaceutical had been created for was for a heart condition, okay? A very specific one, right? And I thought, oh, well, this sounds pretty good. Now, my wife, by the way, she works in cardiology at Sansum Clinic here in Santa Barbara and has been doing so for almost 40 years or more than 40 years. So she knows this stuff backwards and forwards. Anyway, we're sitting here watching this commercial, and they're talking, oh, how all the benefits, oh, this great, great, great. Then they get to, and the side effects include, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Do you know that one of the side effects was the heart condition that the medication was designed to treat? And I thought, what? That makes no sense. I'll stick with the heart condition. Forget the medication. It's crazy. By the way, I wanted to go back to that scare that I had. I got on a sidetrack, but I'm glad we did that. I am absolutely glad that you clarified the whole issue of normal and so normal ranges. I managed to grab one of the old bottles of the drops, and I put one in my eye, and then I looked at the expiration date. And it was 2 months, no, it was 3 months old. And for, I think, a week to 10 days, it took my vision, my vision went somewhat blurry. In terms of halos and things of this nature, it took a week to 10 days for that to finally clear up to where it's back to where it was before. The only problem is I also switched high blood pressure medication around the same time, so I'm not sure. But we did check on the high blood pressure medication. One of the side effects was blurry vision, so I'm going to check with my physician. But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I know you're in New Jersey and all, and you're a native New Jerseyan. Is that how it goes? New Jerseyite?
Well, I was born in Philadelphia. I grew up in South Jersey. I went to school. I went to Princeton in the middle of New Jersey. Yeah. I went to Rutgers. So I was in New Jersey for quite a while. Now, I actually do not. I live right around New Jersey. Let me say that. I'm going to stay around it.
Okay.
Time I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The other part, I live in Manhattan. So I go through New Jersey quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I can't get away from it. But yes, I'm a Jersey girl.
But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I like my ophthalmologist. She's a nice gal, you know, here in Santa Barbara. But gee, you're using techniques, you're using metaphysics, which I love, in the process of assisting people in bettering their health and wellness. And I have not been able to convince my ophthalmologist here that there is no isolated, standalone system in the human body that is independent from any other. So if I have been diagnosed with high blood pressure, then it stands to reason that there's a connection of some sort, in addition to, as you have alluded to before, other spiritual or metaphysical reasons why I have the high eye pressure, but that there's a connection between eye pressure and blood pressure. But she refuses to even acknowledge the existence as if the two systems are totally separate. Can you talk to that specific thing in terms of the various systems of the body and that they are not separate? And yet it seems like the medical community, Orthodox medical community, continues to want to separate them and say, well, okay, you got a blood problem, you got a heart problem, that's in the blood, the arteries, the veins, blah, blah. That's what we're going to deal with. When in fact, it could be maybe there's a nerve issue, or maybe your chemistry's out of balance, et cetera, et cetera. Can you go into something like that?
Yes, and you're absolutely right. You cannot separate it all apart. The way we've done it in Western medicine, I'm not sure why it came to that systems approach and taking the body away from the mind and the spirit. It's all connected. You're all one person. And the body also doesn't talk in diagnoses, meaning that you go to the doctor. I tell people I specialize in strange, rare, peculiar. If you have something where you've tried everything, nothing seems to work, or nobody can tell you what it is, or you know that it's being triggered by something going on in your emotions or psyche, then this is where I come in. And at that point, when you come to me, you're so frustrated, you're ready for something different. And that's my core genius, and didn't know that was my core genius until fairly recently, because I'm traditionally trained, mm-hmm. but I needed to be traditionally trained so I could use all these tools. There are some people where I look and say, Richard, yes, we have to work on this, but you better stay with that ophthalmologist because this is a big deal. And so we can't play with it the same way. You got to stay on the drops, and then we're going to figure out what else is going on or what the reasons behind it is. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody like you, it would be, all right, you know what? We're going to do a reading because I want to see what your associations are with your family and if there's some past life stuff going on, mm-hmm. and, you know, what's the story? And so we'd better put a story behind what's going on, your story behind what's going on, so that you would understand it better. That doesn't mean you are going to heal your glaucoma. Although there are people who do heal from diseases that people say they couldn't heal from. So for instance, people with high blood pressure, they call it benign essential, meaning there's no cause. A lot of people, there is a cause. It just hasn't been looked at in the correct way. I have a certification in functional medicine, and in functional medicine, we always look for root causes. And so when we see somebody with high blood pressure, it's not going to be, okay, let's just throw on the medicine. It's going to see, let's figure out which system is out of balance and then fix that system that's out of balance. And then the blood pressure is going to follow and be in a better range or a more comfortable range. We want to make sure that you're not at risk for something happening, but what caused the blood pressure in the first place?
Yeah. Okay?
So that's a different way of looking at it, but you got to realize, let's talk about, you know, what people's emotions, like you said, well, I just came in from the driving and everybody's crazy on the road. Especially, I know you out there in California, they all are crazy
yes,
on the road.
They are.
We're in New York. We got a lot of people. We're not as crazy in New York on the road, but
yeah, but you also have subways and trains, which I would much prefer take to driving myself. As a matter of fact, if I could live down in the city of Santa Barbara, we live up on the mountaintop in rural Santa Barbara. So we live in a beautiful, isolated and secluded area of rural California. And we have to drive down the mountain every day, which is not a big deal. But if I live down here in the city, I would get rid of the car because I don't have a problem taking public transportation, walking, bicycling, taking a cab. I'm not so much sure I want to take Uber or Lyft, but anyway, if I wanted to take a trip to Los Angeles or even up north, I'd jump on the train. Or if my wife and I wanted to take a vacation, I believe you can, I think there's a thing called rent a car. I believe you could do that. Get rid of the car. And be free of that whole mess and the insurance and the upkeep and the gas and all that kind of stuff. Hey, I want to.
You could do that here on in New York, and on some areas are very suburban, of course.
Yeah.
So you need to have a car.
Sure.
But New York City, you do not need to have a car. In fact, it could be a liability to have a car.
Oh yeah.
Pay as much rent for to keep, you know, my car bill for the garage is a lot. Okay?
Oh, I'll bet. You know, we're talking with Dr. Veronica Anderson, and we're talking about, of course, the one area of expertise that she has not exactly left behind because it's still a part of what she's doing because it's part of dealing with your health. It's kind of like this title that I've got here, and it says that you're a medical intuitive surgeon giving us a guide to the meaning of our illness and the secrets to healing chronic and incurable diseases. And we are going to continue, I guarantee you, talking with Dr. Veronica Anderson here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. You better not go away.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. You can take that tongue depressor out now. We've seen down your throat and everything's good. All is good, folks. We're talking with Dr. Victoria Anderson and Veronica, beg your pardon. Dr. Veronica Anderson is my guest. But now I see, and I have to tell you, I love one of the slogans that I was reading here, or I shouldn't say slogans. It's actually one of your mottos. Good vision improves your outlook. Now, I'm going to share something real quick with you. When I went in for my first exam prior to my lens implant in February of 1996, the doc examined me because I noticed my vision in my right eye was deteriorating. It was getting a little cloudy and so forth. And it turns out that it was the cataracts. They were growing, which I thought was interesting. Could we put them in a petri dish and get them out of my eye? And he says, well, you know, we can do one of two things. We can let it go for a while and see if it improves, which I don't know. I thought he maybe was being facetious because it's like, wait a minute, since July of 95, I've noticed the decline. You really think that it's going to turn around today? He says the second option is we can put a lens implant in, but I will tell you, he says. And his, by the way, his name was Dr. Thomas Minus, who is in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, well, I can tell you that here's the deal. We can do the lens implant, but there's a 50-50 chance that you could lose your vision. And I said, fine, let's do it. Because if I'm going to lose it, let's get it done so that I can start the adjustment process now. I'm serious. No, I'm serious. Because here's the thing. I worked most of my life, early years of my career, for a radio station called Sunsounds Radio Reading Service for the Blind and Visually Impaired, where they read newspapers, magazines, books, periodicals. They had special shows. I was actually the producer of radio theater. When I was 21, I produced my first radio theater play. And I was doing this with legal blindness, 2200 in my right, 2400 in my left. And I called it perceived limitation. If someone asked me if I, you know, they would ask me what my condition is, well, I'm legally blind. And I used to get really frustrated when I was in my late teens because I said, the state is the one that did that. I want to get a driver's license anyway. But anyway, that's another story. So I go in there and we do the surgery and it's out. Well, I think it was, I don't know if it's outpatient or not. All I know is that I was able to see everything that was going on as they were doing it, which was, and I was awake. I was even giving them a hamburger recipe that I had created, to which my ophthalmologist said, we need you to be quiet.
Yeah, because your eye moves when you talk.
Exactly.
You should be still because your eye moves. Don't move your eye.
But it was remarkable, the experience. That afternoon, believe it or not, that afternoon I was walking with my wife up to the McDonald's, and I looked up at the trees, and it was an astounding sight, but also frustrating because they didn't look as full and bushy as they did before, only because when they were full and bushy, they were a little on the blurry side. Now I could see individual leaves and so forth. But we go through these processes, and I've kind of come to the realization, or maybe the conclusion, not so much realization, because I it hasn't happened to me, and I hope that it does not. And I hope it doesn't happen to anybody, but people, I've met people who have, for example, macular degeneration, which is supposedly, there is no treatment for it. You're going.
I know how to fix that, though.
Yeah, well, I kind of figured you might. It's really interesting that I took that tack back then. I said, hey, if I'm going to lose my vision, if it's 50-50, then let's go ahead and flip the coin and do this thing. Because that's what we do. I mean, there were people, and again, I associated with blind people for the first 10, 15, 20 years of my career. And I was also a client of Talking Books and Recordings for the Blind. I had large print books in school, all of this kind of, I had a resource teacher in school, and on and on and on. So it was not unfamiliar territory to me. So I thought, well, all the resources are there. And yeah, it's still going to be adjustment. It's not like I'm, oh, I don't have any vision. Okay, let's just keep moving on down the road at 40 miles an hour. There certainly would be an adjustment period. But I felt as though it was, I needed to do it. A lot of times people, and I'm curious as to people who come to you, and I'm sure that you do some of this over the phone, over Skype, as well as in person. I don't know if you do much traveling to meet with people that you're going to work with, and I don't know that it's necessary because obviously this intuitive element of your life and your career, your vocation, transcends, time and space. But I'm curious as to you, is it, are, what are some of the more difficult or challenging aspects of this? Is it trying to get to that narrative that you were talking about that helps to explain why you are, a person is experiencing a particular condition? Or is it the condition itself?
The most challenging part is the belief system of whoever I'm working with. Mm. Now, when people approach me, I know their belief system is more open than your average person. People who probably listen to you, they have a more open belief system. However, I have to assess what is your belief system. And when I say assess, there's, not some big questionnaire, blah, blah, blah. I, intuitively, I'm able to read your energy to be able to tell where you are in your thinking and process so that I know how to best present you with information, tools and techniques so that you can begin the healing process. And so when I said, I can fix that, when we talked about macular degeneration, mm-hmm. I cannot literally fix it. What I can do is give you tools and techniques that are going to help you if your belief system will allow it to. And I'm not simply talking about the woo-woo, but here's the thing. Woo-woo is actually quantum physics. Quantum electrodynamic physics is where the woo-woo is, and most people don't understand it. And so they say it doesn't exist because they just may not be able to grasp the concepts of physics, which is the things that Einstein was talking about. But there is science behind medical intuition and energy medicine. And I don't go into it with people because it's complicated. It's like when you come in with an infection, I don't say, here's how the infection works, or the bacteria, blah, 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 blah. And this is why no, I don't do that. I say you have an infection, here's the antibiotic. All right. So it's the same with the energy medicine field. I understand what's going on. I can read it. Energy can be read. Illnesses have energy imprints. Emotions have energy imprints. When you said my name and you said Victoria, and I said Veronica in my head, all of a sudden you said, Veronica. I mean, we can read each other's energy, okay? Mm-hmm. We do things like that. We all have intuition. Women especially have very strong intuition. Men have it too. A lot of times men have been taught in our society that it's not okay to use it, and so men tend to shy away from it more and not use it as much. But guess what? Two of the biggest companies in the world right now, the people at the top of them said, I use my intuition first, and that would be Jeff Bezos and Steve Jobs. They say, I depend on my intuition, and then I do everything else. And so our right brain in our temporal lobe is the seat of our intuition, the seat of our spirituality, the seat of anything that we believe that's out there beyond ourselves. And it does exist. It is mediated and can be trained and used. And so for people like me, it just means I'm like LeBron James at it. I could use it very well. Then I got some coaching and training. It got even better. And now it's like, hey, I'm in the MBA of intuitives. And because I have a real academic medical background and training, my intuitive readings are much, much, much deeper and wider than somebody who doesn't have any background or medical training. Because there are other medical intuitives out there who are quite talented, but I've not seen, I've met other medical intuitives that are doctors who can do deep and wide readings, but I haven't met people with no medical training who can say, you have, you know, like I'm looking into Richard. You have a parasite implant imprint. Not a, you don't have a parasite. You have an imprint. You were, you know, your body was disturbed at one time. You had a parasite. You've cleared the parasite, but the imprint of that parasite is still in your energy system, and that's causing you to have some imbalances. And so here's what we're going to do about that. And guess what? If you have an energy imprint of something, it's still there, but giving you an anti-parasitic medication is not going to cure it. You have to go at it from a different way. This may be the story of people who've been exposed to Lyme and been treated, or who people who've been exposed to mold. They're out of the environment. It doesn't, they're not finding what it is, but yet they're still having the symptoms. So these are, when I say strange, rare, peculiar, people are like, I've done everything. I got treated for the Lyme. All my tests are negative. I've had all the advanced tests and they're negative. Okay, what's happening is you're holding it in your energy system. So let's figure out why you're holding it in your energy system, which is usually an emotional and spiritual trigger. And so understanding that trigger is what allows you to release it, and then your body can heal, because your body is meant to heal. The doctor doesn't do it. You do the healing. It's just what happens is people forget how to heal. They forget it because you've been through all kinds of trauma in life and all these type of things. Okay. And now we're going to put on the other side. As I said, again, there are people who have illnesses and injuries and things like that because somebody else in their life needs to learn a lesson. So it would be very interesting to do like one of those soul readings on your whole family, given that they've had all these, you know, eye things going on. And in fact, I'll tell you, Richard, I was, you know, once somebody did a psychic reading of me before I even was really aware of why I did what I did. And she was like, oh, you've been blind in one of your past lives. And the reason why you're eye surgeon now is because you knew you had to heal blindness because you were blind in a past life. And because I can go into past lives, I was able to see the past life, what happened, explain what was going on. But it's part of why I'm an eye surgeon. So sometimes people have pains or aches or something that doesn't make sense to the medical community, doesn't show up in tests. And why they have it is because there's a past life story that goes along with it that's important, that they still need to learn a lesson about, or somebody else around them has to learn a lesson, and that's why it's going on. So this is all about our soul journey. Our soul journey meaning all the lives that we've been through. And this is different thinking than a lot of people who follow the traditional, you know, three religions. But we travel, our soul travels. Right now, I'm the spirit of Dr. Veronica Anderson DeDigby is my married name. You're the spirit of Richard Dugan in this particular life, and that means something. But we're all here for a purpose. And when we say a purpose can change from moment to moment in your life. So people say, why am I here? What's my purpose? You can have more than one purpose. Hello, you can.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. We talk about that a great deal on this program. This is, to me, fascinating stuff. Now, I've shared this with people on the program many times that these broadcasts, these interviews are my therapy. And I can use all the therapy that I can get in spite of the fact that I did grow up in a pretty normal middle class family. Not quite Norman Rockwell, but pretty darn close. We did not have the dysfunction that you see in the movies and television at Christmas and New Year and Thanksgiving dinner tables, you know, where you know you're rehashing old issues between relatives, and somebody gets drunk enough or inebriated enough to where they start saying stuff and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't have that. That was not my experience. We worked stuff out. We had parents that I think were absolutely terrific. To this day, I don't even see my parents as parents. They're in their mid-late 80s. They're like really good friends now. They're not my parents anymore. They're just really good friends. And I don't know how many people can actually say that of their mother and father. And I'm still very close with my sisters and my brother. And it's just amazing how when I get into conversations dealing with, for example, dysfunctional relationships, you know, as far as the family is concerned, I can't really relate, you know, and I feel bad when I start saying, oh, yeah, well, I had a great, great childhood growing up and so forth. And again, it wasn't all Skittles and beer, but it was we had a great time and we did the things that we did and we played in the dirt in the backyard. We built forts, played army men, built tents in the backyard, bicycled all over town to the consternation of my parents, to say the very least. But that's one of the things, too, that I've noticed, Veronica, is that there are other things that happen to us as we go through our lives. And what you're saying is that we're picking up some of this stuff and we're sort of embedding it or overlaying it into our energy systems that then later in life tends to create the various diseases. And we need to get to that core there. I don't want to have you give me any specific here, but are there certain conditions that you're able to work through within a shorter period of time than others, or is it literally a case by case individual situation?
It's always case by case because we all are individuals on our particular soul journey. And so when someone comes with whatever they have, I have no idea what it is. And this is why people, and when I say I have no idea, I don't have a preconceived notion as to what it is. That people want to share with me their records and things like that. And I'll take them and say, thank you very much. And I won't look at them because that might bias me away from what is going to be the best answer for them. And the best answer is what is going to get them the quickest way to less suffering and to more harmony. My goal is to get you over to the gratitude, love, and joy column. If you're 51% gratitude, love, and joy, then you are healthy. Now, if you're more into fear, anger, and sadness, and that's when you have illness, you're going to have something. When you have some fear or anger or sadness about something, those are the big three. Everything that you feel and experience that you might call negative, it's not necessarily negative. It's an experience. It doesn't have positive negatives. It's our judgment that makes it negative. Those are the ones that are health harming. When you interpret something and you have the emotion of fear, anger, sadness, and you know, you feel that someplace in your body, just like when you were driving down a road and you were getting upset, there's someplace in your body where you probably say, yeah, I felt it in my chest. I felt it in my thigh. I felt it someplace. So case by case, you have to be open to what it could be. And myself, I work with practitioners because I can't figure out always what's going on in me. I may be able to do it better than average, but there's stuff that I pick up that I have no idea. Sometimes I'll work with somebody, they'll tell me something, I'll like, really? And I'll remember it, but I didn't know I picked it up because we are all connected. So we're walking around picking up stuff all the time, and how it impacts us, we're not always aware of. So something that happened when you were 7 and a half could be very significant, and it's not top of mind, but it's still stored in you and still can trigger an issue. And this is when we talk about, hey, there's genetics involved and it's 15%. Well, what's going to trigger the genetics to go over the way to produce illness? There's going to be something about your lifestyle or environmental or emotional. Those type of things trigger the genes to turn on at times. So, for instance, let's talk about breast cancer. Everybody's worried about having the BRCA gene. Well, guess what? There's families, they have BRCA genes and they don't have breast cancer. And so what we have to do at this point is realize that, one, we have to study more the people that have the quote unquote bad genes, because that's what we want to call them. I have a friend, she likes to say, I got really bad genes. And she didn't even use that word. She uses a SH word for that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I got SH genes too. I got those genes too. But she's like, well, you're really well. I said, you should see what my gene profile looks like. And I believe, you know, wellness has to do with, you know, I do have a certain outlook on life. I do live my life, And you can switch it if you're not there with gratitude, love, and joy. Like, think about it. I work with practitioners to help them be able to integrate intuition and spirituality alongside their science-based practice. And when I work with practitioners, one of the things that I have to work with them is in removing their money blocks. You say, well, how does that? That helps them. Your practitioner can have a money block and cause you not to get well. Okay.
No.
And that's a long explanation. But
sure.
Think about it. Energetically, if they're operating in a big area of life with fear, anger, or sadness, then it can cause problems with how they're interacting with their clients and getting results. Mm. So I'm like, listen, here's what we're going to work on with that. And so all these pieces, because you know, think about it, just talking about money. Money is energy. What is it? It's energy. So all these pieces that you think one doesn't have to do with the other, they're all connected, just like we're all connected as people. This is what physics tells us. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Like gravity, we can't see it, but things are going to fall to the ground. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's laws of the universe. And this is what I write about in my book. I don't explain everything in detail because I want to just put in your mind that there's another way to think about it. So when you feel that you've lost all hope, don't. There are other answers out there. There are other people that can help. Now, it may not be in your backyard, and it will rarely be somebody in your insurance plan. And that's where people get tripped up.
Yeah.
If it's in your insurance plan, guess what? If it's in your insurance plan, it's probably something that's going to make you sicker. And why do I say that? Because we know now the number three cause of death and disease is something that happens when you have a medical intervention, just like you talked about on the side effects of the medication. So there's a lot of medical interventions now that are actually causing more sickness than they're making people well. And this is what, it's a big Ponzi scheme. This is what I talk about. It's a Ponzi scheme. Hospitals want you to be sick because that's how they make money. Insurances want you to be in fear because that's how they make money. Pharmaceuticals want you to believe all the hype on the TV because that's how they make money. And so what if I told you how to be well? And then, you know, 100 days from now, you didn't need the medicine. Those pharmaceutical and hospital and, you know, insurance lobbies, they don't want you to know me. They don't want you to know how to do it yourself. They don't want you to know the big secret is that your body can heal itself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need a statin to do that or a Xanax to do that.
Yeah. You've also touched upon another subject we will not go into, but just an observation on my part. A filthy, disgusting phrase that you should never utter within the borders of the United States of America are the concept of redistribution of wealth. Well, what you just described is just that the pharmaceutical industry, the hospital industry, the insurance industry are trying to take your wealth and give it to themselves. How that's not, you know, there's just really something wrong with that. You know, when people don't seem to realize that that's what's going on is they are taking, they're keeping you sick. They don't want to give you preventative maintenance. You take your car in for preventative maintenance so you don't have worse problems. My father told me years ago, even before I ever learned to drive or ever had a car, and we're talking about my teens, and he had a visual impairment too, by the way, and yet he was working on my parents' car all the time, you know, to just keep it maintained, right? Of oil, lube, filter, and so forth. He says, if you do those three things, oil, lube, and filter on a regular basis, and obviously keep gas in the car, down the road, you're not going to have to be paying for a bunch of maintenance because you've done the basic stuff along the way. Well, unfortunately, the health and wellness or medical community doesn't want you to have preventative maintenance because of what you just described. There isn't any money in it because you get to keep your money instead of spending it on insurance policies and prescriptions and procedures and all of these other things. But again, as I said, that's You see where I'm going with that, but we don't want to necessarily go down that road.
I want to comment, but since we're not going, we could talk about that for a whole nother hour.
Sure. Maybe we'll have you back and we'll do just that program. But go ahead and make your comment. I have no problem with that. Go ahead.
No, what you said is absolutely true. And there has to be a shift in thinking among the population. And people have to learn themselves to invest in their health. If you feel it's important, you pay for what you value and you value what you pay for. And so pick a practitioner, make an investment in yourself, show that practitioner gratitude by paying them and making the energetic exchange. Do you understand when you don't make the energetic exchange yourself, maybe that's why you're not getting a result? And then when you start making an energetic exchange, and the easiest one is money, all of a sudden you get a result. And so I know people are going to go look at my website, drveronica.com, and they're going to be like, oh, wow, her fees are not low. That's on purpose. The reason why it's on purpose is because, first of all, I got an Ivy League degree, lots of training, and I'm damn good. Okay, so we'll put that aside. But on the other side, it needs to be a meaningful amount for you to decide that you really value it. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to decide that it is valuable enough to you. So if I charge you $10, you're not even going to think it's worth anything. If I charge you $10,000, and that's not what the service is. If I charge you $10,000, though, you're going to perk up, you're going to pay attention, and you're going to really think about whether or not I'm going to help you get a result. And I do. And that's why when you come to me, I'm going to be like, I'm working with you for 90 to 120 days. If I cannot get a result with you in that time, I'm going to release you to somebody else. But guess what? When you've made that decision and I decide that I'm taking you on as my client, we're going to make sure that you get a result. Period. We've made an exchange between us. There is nobody in between that makes me. I'm not loyal to the insurance company, so I'm not going to do the right thing. And you're not loyal to the insurance company, so you're not going to do the right thing. Because that's what happens. People get loyal to the insurance company, and then they don't do what the right thing is. And doctors are hesitant to tell the truth because it's not covered by insurance sometimes. Well, guess what? I don't deal with that. I'm going to tell you exactly what the truth is with no middle person in between. We're going to do it. We're going to fix it. I'm not going to go ask somebody, am I going to have to do it? It's me and you, and it's going to be a crucible, and you're going to get a result. Period.
Dr. Veronica Anderson is my guest, Dr. Veronica MD, wellness for the real world. And by the way, if you want to connect with her and do an energetic exchange of whatever level and talk to her about that or look at the rates and so forth, certainly you can go to drveronica.com, but you can also call 888-886-1216. That was a very good year, by the way. 888-886-1216. That's the toll-free number you can contact. Are you toxic? Well, guess what? You can take a test and find out by going to drveronica.com. You said something earlier I wanted to dovetail off of, and it was really, I think, extremely important to address. But before I do that, I want to remind our listeners, this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Dr. Veronica's got all kinds of choices, kids. She can provide you with all kinds of different services from her website. You could, and I like this one in computer terminology, to reboot your wellness. You've got a living matrix evaluation, fundamental fix action plan. You've got a rejuvenation journey, medical intuitive services. You even refer to that as well. And you've also got some events that are coming up in 2019 as well. And so to me, it's just really, really, you know, they say when you talk about specific parts of the body, if your feet hurt, you hurt all over. But if you don't have your health, you've got absolutely nothing. And I have to tell you that when my feet hurt, I love walking. I love the fact that from where I'm sitting right now, I can get up and I can walk to the beach in 20 minutes. Whereas when I was living in Phoenix, I could get up from where I was sitting and take 20 days to get to the ocean. So I like the exchange there. But you talked about exchange. Now, when I was growing up in Christian broadcasting back in Phoenix in the 80s, early 90s, I used to get people that would come in and they would grumble about the work that we'd ask them to do, even though it was part of the job description. They say, you don't pay me enough. And I could have gone down that road. But I started looking at it from the standpoint that you just described of an energetic exchange. And I thought, okay, I'm making minimum wage in 1981, 82, okay, which I think was like $3.75 an hour, something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. In today's dollars, that's, wow, that is not a livable wage, kids. And yet I was working for a place that I wanted to work for, you know, not so much that station, but in this industry. Anyway, I was given the opportunity to do interviews, which is where I really started cranking out interviews. And I was doing programs just like this on that station. And I started to think about that whole mentality of, they don't pay me enough, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take that. And I saw a CBS News story heard it on the radio about Motorola laying off 1,000 people because they had done an audit and they were missing $1 million worth of materials. And apparently it was the people that were working that were pilfering because they had that mentality of, they don't pay me enough, so I'm going to take this O-ring or whatever it is. Well, as I'm doing these interviews and I'm working through that mental process of trying to figure out where I want to find myself on that spectrum, I began to realize that I'm not going to get dollars and cents from my employer in exchange for all of the extra stuff, the interviews that I'm doing that I chose to do. I was given that time slot in the 7 o'clock hour, 7 p.m. hour. I was setting up my own interviews just like I do now. I was getting the books and the CDs and all of the materials, review stuff from the guests. Then I got to do the interview and I got the experience and I got the contact. I've interviewed some of the people from that time, even on this program, Tell Me Your Story. And then it dawned on me that there is an exchange. It's a universal law. You can't escape it. Right? That this is the way that it is, and you're not going to get that exchange from the source that you might think, but you need to be open. Prosperity isn't just your bank account now has 4, 5, 6, 7 digits in front of the decimal. Sometimes it's, oh, Dr. Victoria, she just sent me a copy of her book. Oh, hey, there's an exchange. She gave me a little bit of information about why I have glaucoma and this and that and the other thing. And I actually feel better about myself. Oh, there's an exchange. And so on and so forth. Talk to us a little bit more about that aspect of exchange and the unexpected ways in which it manifests.
So this is a perfect time for me able to give your audience a gift because I have my ward off colds and flu toolkit.
Ooh-hoo.
That I like to give out.
All
oh,
right.
Yes, this is beautiful. This is one day. I don't know why it took me so long to put this together. And when I say that, it's because I have these over the years with my training and background, the tools, tips, tricks, products that when you want to stay well in the winter or you start coming down with something and you want to ward it off, I know how to do that. I tease people. I'm like, listen, I know how to do the 12-hour cold, maybe less than that. I feel something coming on, throat a little sippy, little niffle. I go to my cabin. I do 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's gone by 12 hours later. And so that ward off colds and flu toolkit has in it foods to eat, not eat. It has my special drink that I recommend for people to use. It has homeopathic herbs, mushrooms. With all the links on where to go get this stuff, because this is not, you're not going to run down to Rite Aid and find it all, but it is readily available for the public to have. And then how to put it together and how to use it. And included in that is some of the products you can use for other things. Like, for instance, there's a homeopathic called Nux Vomica. And Nux, and don't write it down. Go get the kit. Go get the kit. So don't worry about writing it. But Nux Vomica. So if let's say you get the flu or you have a stomach virus and you're nausea and vomiting, Nux Vomica works for that. It's a homeopathic people have never heard of. That's why it sounds complicated because it's not every day. But it also works really well for hangovers. Now, wouldn't you want that for the holiday party? Okay.
That's right.
So that you can get that at drveronica.com/flu, F-L-U. And it has all those pieces of information of what you should have in your wellness wardrobe. I don't call it a medicine chest. It's the wellness wardrobe. You need to have these things in like your clothes closet. So, and you know, I travel with these, and I give them to my family. And I said, I don't know what took me so long because I've been using these things for a long time. And I decided, let me tell everybody exactly what I do to stay well so that they can stay well. And that goes over to the reason that I did this is because everywhere is telling you to get a flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to get into whether you should get a flu shot or not, but I'm going to give you some information. First of all, it has in it antibiotics, formaldehyde, thimerosal, which is mercury, and eggs. And so if you have a problem or don't want any of those things in your body, you don't want to get a flu shot. Number two, if you decide to get a flu shot, it's only 20 to 35% effective. So 35% effective on the high side, meaning that you have the shot and you come in contact with the flu, there's a 65 to 80% chance you could still get the flu.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I gave you the kit, because even if you decide to get the shot, and many people decide not to get the shot because there is some data and evidence that people who have the flu shot, especially 2 years in a row, are more likely to get the flu, are more likely to have post-flu complications, and are more likely to be hospitalized, you may decide maybe you don't want to get it. You know what to do. Or if you do get it, you're still not protected, and I want you to know that. So therefore, you got to do something different. Oh, my phone's ringing. Sorry.
That's all right. Well, I think that's very good advice. I noticed, too, that this kit, actually one of the first items that I noticed that I am familiar with is apple cider vinegar. Now, I'm not a fan of apple cider vinegar, but there is a version of apple cider vinegar that's available here on the Central Coast anyway, and maybe it's available elsewhere, too, that has honey in it. And that I really like. As a matter of fact, I'm hearing that apple cider vinegar in particular is turning into one of those, I don't want to say cure-alls, but it's certainly it sure helps in a lot of situations. And we have a woman here on the Central Coast. She lives here. Her name is Patricia Bragg. And her father started the Bragg's health and so forth. He was, I guess, he started the very first health food store, if you will. So it's really fascinating to find out these things that are so simple. As a matter of fact, I've even heard this. So this is interesting for your pets, for example. You got fleas, got problems with fleas. A drop of apple cider vinegar in their water bowl, and it will ward off the fleas as they drink the water that goes through the system, goes to the skin, and the fleas don't even want to jump on the body.
I didn't know that. Thank you for that.
I was amazed when I heard that, although we've never really had that problem up at our place in spite of the fact that we have a dog, five cats, and five chickens. Never really had a real serious problem with fleas up where we live, in spite of the fact that this is supposedly flea country. I wanted to talk to you about one other thing before we wrap up the program, and that goes back to the whole genetic aspect. Now, I've often used this question in light of technological and medical and just in general advances in our supposed advances in our civilization, in our society. And the question is, just because we can, does that mean we should? Now, you were talking about the genetic aspects or predispositions and so forth, as I kind of use the word, to certain conditions. Now, what are your thoughts on this whole aspect of gene therapy and going in and being able to eradicate certain conditions through manipulation or alteration or cut and snip of the genes within a person to eradicate that particular, whatever that, for example, sickle cell. I did not know that it was a cure for malaria, although I'm not sure that having sickle cell is necessarily a good thing. But we're going to get rid of sickle cell in your family. We're going to go in, we're going to do some genetic manipulation, and then the rest of your generation of your family, they won't have it. What are your thoughts on that? Is it something that is beneficial, or is it something that we need to stay away from because there are other more natural processes that the body will take care of those things?
I believe that you have to be exceedingly careful about that, because there are genes that we think we know what they do, but we're not fully apprised of what they do, really. We just haven't figured it all out. It's like, why do you want to get your vitamins, minerals, and nutrients in food versus a pill? Because there's something synergistic happening in the food that we don't even quite understand. So you need to think of your genes like it's a big orchestra that's playing, and everybody needs everybody else. And when you remove one, you mess up something else. So that's my concern about gene therapy. We say, okay, well, we'll just take out this one little thing. And that one little thing is like taking out the domino and then everything falls apart. And so whereas it sounds exciting and it sounds like, yeah, that's the answer, I'm very leery about that. Just the same way that we thought that statins were the cure, and now we're finding out they're causing what we thought that they were curing or treating. It's going to be the same way with gene therapy. And you'll say, I heard it here. That's what's going to happen, because we just don't know the answers. The universe has put us together in a particular way, and we just are never going to have every single answer. We're never going to be smart enough. And the problem is, we think we're so smart that we know how to do it, and then we end up messing up something.
Mm. That has been my feeling from the very beginning. And I just think that the other aspect of it, too, is in the medical community, traditional medicine does not know when to say when. There are times. I have a dear friend. I lost him as a physical friend on the 12th of September of 2018. I trained him in broadcasting back in the late 80s, and we worked together throughout the next decade or two. And he died of colon cancer that led to lung cancer because he was Rastafarian and they don't believe in doctors. And it wasn't until he doubled over in pain last March that his wife finally forced him into the emergency room. And that's when he was diagnosed. We don't have to wait. I mean, heck, if he'd had you, you probably back in March or even earlier than that could have said, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's what we're going to do, and so on and so forth. And we can turn this around. It is entirely possible. And speaking of gene therapy, the one thought that occurred to me when I've talked with oncologists and dealing with the issue of cancer and the characteristics, if you will, or the profiling of a cancer cell, I said, is there research ongoing that's trying to figure out what it is that causes the cancer cell to do what it does so that we can do that to the cells, the normal cells of the body, to help them to regenerate to healthy tissue? Because, and this goes to my question that you just answered, but now I'm sitting here going, okay, well, wait a minute. Dr. Veronica, my left eye, I have no vision in it because of glaucoma, and yet my cells are regenerating all the time. Why are my cells in my left eye continuing to regenerate every 7 years, approximately, to the same condition that they're in right now? Why aren't they regenerating to healthy cells that rebuilds the eye to where I'd be able to see out of it?
Isn't that a mystery?
I don't
tell you that that's a mystery that we don't talk about very much. It really is.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it just switch around? Because, yes, we think cancer cells, they'll start out as normal and they switch around. And it happens where you have these, let's call it transcriptional errors, more as you age. But why doesn't it switch back the other way, especially in somebody who has something young?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a mystery. Yeah. That still, you know, you tell people that people who think they're really, really smart will give you an answer for it, except that what they're really saying is, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the liver regenerates. I mean, you know, you can give someone half your liver and your liver will grow more. Your skin, when you cut it, when you bruise it, when you do this or that or the other, it will return back almost to, with the exception of maybe a scar, it'll return back to its original condition. But then there are other parts of the human body that doesn't happen. And you're right. It is a mystery.
More and more, we're learning how to do that. So for For instance, we used to think that the brain couldn't regenerate, nerves couldn't regenerate, and now we know that that's not true, that we can do things to have them regenerate.
Yeah.
In addition, but sometimes here, in addition and sometimes, it's in the quantum physics field. I have a friend, Dr. George Roth, he's in Toronto, and he's created a system called matrix repatterning. And you need to know about this because he's figured out how to put the energy system back together so your body heals.
Ooh,
it's amazing.
Yes.
If you've read Dr. Norman Doy's The Brain That Changes Itself or The Brain That Heals Itself, which is a New York bestseller, Dr. Norman Doy wrote, in Appendix A, they write about George Roth. George Roth is, we ended up being in a coaching group together. So we were building our businesses together. So I got to know him really well and got to experience matrix repatterning. And I'm like, oh my God, I had this knee issue. I couldn't figure out how to fix it. You just fixed this in like an hour session. How come everybody doesn't know about this?
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So things that maybe today we don't know how to heal, we'll learn information, but guess what? What he does, this is not a pharmaceutical.
No.
This is a way to put energy back together so that your body starts recognizing itself again and knows how to heal. So this is, I'm not on anything now. I'm not in the Ponzi scheme of the pharmaceuticals. So it's hard for people like Dr. George Roth to get his word out. And he's training other practitioners so people know about it. And people who listen to the show, you now know this exists. He's kept people from having hip replacements and knee replacements. He found out that I had a brain injury that I didn't know I was having. I was having some problems, probably why I tripped and fell and hurt my knee in the first place. He fixed it.
Yeah.
I mean, and these are things that we were taught in traditional medicine that are not fixable. And I can tell you, I experienced it in my own body. And so when you have your mind open, you know, when they say, when the student is ready, mm-hmm. the teacher will appear. Mm. It's the same with your health.
Yeah.
When you have the belief that there is something out there that can help you, that's not going to hurt you at the same time it's helping you. It's true. It's there. It's all over the world. It's just maybe you don't know about it because it wasn't search engine optimized, so you can't Google it easy.
Well, there are a couple of people I'm just going to reference real quick before we wrap up here. Dr. Royal Raymond Rife and the Rife Frequency Generator. I was selected as the narrator for their documentary back in the early 2000s, and the story is fascinating. But he created this device that helps to work on the frequencies of the human body and the various conditions, cancer and this and that and the other thing, to basically reverse that. I've actually seen that in the concept of a stereo wave in my recording studio, where you have a true stereo signal left-right separation. You've got certain instruments on the left, certain instruments on the right, and some in the middle. And when you take one of those signals and you take it out of phase and you mix this signal down into a mono signal, all of the instrumentation that is similar in frequency is pushed way in the background, like a vocal. But if you take a left-right monaural signal and you take one of those signals out of phase and then you mix it together into one signal, because the signals are identical or the frequencies are identical, they cancel each other out and there's nothing there. It's invisible. Another gentleman who does similar work in the modern day with a computer and a photograph of the individual is a gentleman by the name of Stephen Lewis and the EMC Squared Project. Fascinating work that's going on out there. It's amazing. And Dr. Victoria, I can't thank you enough for sharing this time and this information and being our guest here on the program. I would like to extend to you the invitation, should you choose to accept it one of these days. We'd love if you can find your way out of the Jersey area, you know, we'd love to have you out here on the West Coast to continue this conversation in person.
I come out there a lot. So what I'll have to do is just add on some days. And sounds like where you are is great. I've been to Santa Barbara once long ago. I'd love to come again. So we'll talk about it.
Absolutely. I've been to New York once back in 1993. It just happened to be Earth Day. I was in Central Park. My wife, my good friend, we were standing there by that big old fountain that appears at the closing credits of the Odd Couple series. And all of a sudden, we see this huge crowd coming towards us from the west. Did not know what it was about. All we know is we needed to get out of the park. And then we saw the news that night, and of course, it was 500,000 or so people celebrating Earth Day. So, but I loved New York City. It was a lot of fun. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. And I want to let our listeners know that your website, again, is drveronica.com. That's the website. You can go there and get more information. And before we let you go, I want to ask you three final questions. You've probably answered them to some degree throughout this interview, but I want to ask them to you pointedly and directly. And the first happens to be, who is Veronica Anderson?
Oh, the essence of the divine beautiful.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
More people to have hope and to end suffering.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
You know, I have many my life purposes, but for people to understand that gratitude, love, and joy will rule today and in the future, and to have hope and faith that it will reign soon.
888-886-1216. That's 888-886-1216, if you'd like to call that number and connect, or go to drveronica.com, Dr. Veronica MD, wellness for the real world. And the real world is your world, folks. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And until next time, love to Lal and Makushla.